That's some good singing tonight. Take a Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Does this sound okay? 1 Kings chapter number 19. Y'all glad you sing? Say amen.
Amen.
Ooh. I'm glad he knows where we are, don't you? Get to 1 Kings 19, let me know. 1 Kings right before 2 Kings. Right after 1 Kings chapter number 19. I'm going to read just a few verses tonight and share with you a thought the Lord gave me while I was on vacation. 1 Kings chapter number 19. You got to kind of know what's happened just before. If you're at least familiar with your Bible, you know what's going on. In chapter number 18, Elijah has challenged the prophets of Baal. And he says, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And the prophets of Baal, if you would, are the devil worshippers that day, or the pagan worshippers of that day. And he puts a challenge on them and said, I tell you what, we're gonna fix the altar and y'all pray. And if your God answers by fire, we'll let him be God. And then I'll pray. Well, then prophets of Baal, they prayed and fell on the ground and flopped around. Elijah even made fun of them and said, maybe your God's asleep. And finally they got done praying all day. And they said, okay, Elijah, it's your turn. He said, all right, now dig a ditch around this thing. Fill it up with water. Cover the sacrifice, the wood, cover all that with water. Elijah prays a little bitty short prayer, and the fire falls from heaven and consumes the offering and the wood and the altar and all the water and burns dust off the ground.
Amen.
And to top it all off, Elijah kills them. Amen. 400 prophets of Baal. He just kills them. Now, that's one of the coolest stories in the Bible to me. Amen. I like that. But anyway, that's the man in me. Amen. Amen. All right, get right or I'll kill you. One of the two. Submit to my God or we're going to chop your head off. Amen. And that was kind of the attitude that day. So Elijah leaves this contest, I imagine, feeling pretty good. Wouldn't you? I mean, you pray fire down from heaven. I got some brush piles in my backyard, Brother Jason. I wouldn't mind being able to pray those fire down. Amen. We've been going to burn them things for a long time. And they're probably just going to rot into the ground. Amen. But take a shot when I get it, brother. But I imagine he's feeling pretty good. He has had an utter victory. Would you agree?
Yeah.
In chapter number 18. But things change. And I want you to know, you can be on a mountain one day. And one phone call. Change your physical address or your spiritual address in one message. One text, one Facebook, one phone call. One visit can change where you are. Elijah goes in chapter number 18. I'm talking about the man of God. The man who has a God who answers by fire. Chapter number 19, something changes drastically. The Bible said that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah, she reminds me of somebody running for president. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more so, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his saying. He just prayed down fire from heaven. He just slain 400 prophets of Baal. He gets this news, the Bible said he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Watch his language. And he requested for himself that he might, say it with me,
die.
And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there were was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water by his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And the Bible said in verse number 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah finds himself after a great victory. Usually, when you're going to face your worst attack, is after a great victory.
Yeah.
Right after God does something great in your life, right after God answers a great prayer in your life,
amen,
right after God does a great miracle or a great move in your life, and you get up on this mountain, it never fails. You can walk out of here on a Sunday on cloud nine, yeah, thinking, "Man, I am spiritually 10 foot tall and bulletproof." And you walk out the door Monday morning, the devil kicks your teeth out. Amen. And you go from woo to woo. Just like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, things are going great, and all of a sudden the wheels fall off a wagon and everything is messed up. That's where Elijah finds himself. But he finds himself in a cave. I've got to looking at these caves, and all through the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament, caves are almost always associated with trouble,
amen,
trial, testings, a place of hiding,
amen,
a place of anguish, or discouragement. Just about everywhere you find caves. I just sat there with my iPad on the porch this week, and I got to looking, I got to studying about these caves, and could have mentioned dozens of them throughout the Bible, and I thought this was such a picture of what I want to talk about tonight. Caves. They're a fact of life. You can go ahead and put the picture up if you want to, Miss G. Caves are a fact of life. This is, we went on a little cave tubing trip. We hiked about a mile through a jungle and a rainforest, and that was pretty cool. And y'all have to mess with Sister Angie. She ate a termite. Our tour guide was telling us, it was just us and another couple, and so just a small group, so he took a lot of time with us, and he was telling us how to survive in the jungle, and we ate some stuff I was worried about. We ate some leaves and some stalks off of plants, and some of that stuff's pretty good. And he said, "You could live out here forever." And we found this big termite nest on the side of a tree, and he put his hand on it, and the termites just crawled all over his hand, and he started eating them. And he tried to give one to this other couple. They said, "No." He tried to give one to me. I said, "Nah, buddy, I had lobster last night. I ain't eating the bug." And he said, "It's amazing." He said, "They taste like mint." And my wife said, I like to fell over dead." She said, "I'll try." I'm like, "Who are you?" She chewed it up and spit it out. And she said, "It does. It tastes just like a peppermint." But anyway, she ate a bug. Y'all have to mess. I ain't kissed her since. Y'all have to mess with her like that. Then we hiked into this river. We got to the river, and probably the prettiest river I've ever seen. 20 feet of water. You could see the bottom. You could see the fish swimming on the bottom, just as clear as a bailiff. But the whole purpose of the trip is to go tubing in a cave, and we tubed through a cave for over a mile. And I'm talking about there were places in that cave, the ceiling was 60 to 80 feet high. It went right through the middle of a mountain. There was the things that hang from the top, stalactites, and then stalagmites that come up from the bottom. It was gorgeous, man. We had a wonderful time. But as we got in our tubes, this is where we started, at the mouth of this cave. And that's where we're at right there. And I thought, you know, that's just like our life. The path of this river goes through the cave. It don't go around the mountain. It don't go around the cave. It has to go through the cave. If you're going to the other side of that mountain, that's the only way to get there. There is a straight, you see that wall right there? That is straight up for hundreds of feet, just straight up. There ain't no way. You got to go through that cave.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, that's just like the path of life. I don't care what you do. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care how faithful you are to church or how much you tithe. Your path is going to go through a cave.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to find yourself in a cave. And every time I talk about cave tonight, remember, I'm talking about a time of trouble, yeah, a time of trial, a time of testing, a time of discouragement, a time of anguish, a time of despair. We're going to find ourselves in those places.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? Let me tell you something. You can be having the best spiritual time in your life, and the devil bring the worst, I don't know a better word to say, but a funk or a cloud over you. You better know what I'm talking about. I'm coming out of a meeting and have, I don't know, several people saved, have 20-something people saved, and the next week I'm to pray.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of preachers will stand up and tell you, bless God, I've never been to pray. You ain't never got out much. Amen. You hide in the office somewhere is all you do. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I find myself in a cave from time to time. I got to listen to our tour guide. He was a young man named Thomas. And Thomas was a true Belizean, born and raised there. He'd been on this river since he was 3 years old. And his knowledge of this thing, his daddy started the cave tubing tourism thing 30-something years ago when he was a little baby. And he'd been doing this all his life. And his wealth of knowledge about the jungle, the rainforest, the river, it was amazing. And I was a little apprehensive about going in a cave, to be honest with you. I don't know if anybody else would be. I get a little bit claustrophobic, you know. And I could picture all them big bats hanging off the ceiling, and there was. I could picture all that stuff, and it was dark in there. I started asking him questions, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, if you'll just listen to me and do what I say, you're going to have a great time.
Amen.
What you think is spooky and what you think is scary, he said, you're actually going to enjoy it if you'll just listen to me and do what I say.
Yeah.
He said, you'd be surprised how many people, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. He said, you'd be surprised how many people, he said, sometimes I lead groups of 30 through this gate. He said, this is odd that there's only four of y'all. I said, it ain't odd to me. God blesses me, brother. I didn't want no big old group. But, he said, you'd be surprised how many times how much time I have to spend, and it ruins the trip for everybody else because some knothead won't do what I tell
them.
So I started hanging on every word and listening to this young man, what he had to say. And I thought, you know, it would be a whole lot better if we've got to go through cave. If we've got to have cave experiences, it would be a whole lot better if we would learn how to navigate them. Learn how to react in them. I see a whole lot of church people, good church people, who aren't in church anymore because they got in the cave.
Yes, right.
And they never came out.
Right.
I've seen them crawl in a bottle.
Yeah.
I've seen them crawl in some pills.
Yeah.
I've seen them crawl in everything in the world, trying to find their way out of their cave, but they never made it out.
Right.
Number one reason, they wouldn't listen. They were listening, but they were listening to the wrong voice. Y'all remember the little cartoon with the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other?
Yeah.
And the angel's going, don't do it, don't do it. And the devil's going, yeah, get it, get it. Y'all don't do that?
Yeah.
Now, I know that's a cartoon and it's cute and all that, but I believe it's reality.
Yeah.
I believe if you're saved, you've got a spiritual nature and a carnal nature.
Amen.
And that spiritual nature is trying to get you to do right, and that carnal nature is trying to get you to do wrong. You're a schizophrenic, amen? And when you get in a cave, listen, you're already weak.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we're not careful, in that cave, we'll listen to the wrong voice. Elijah, he's sitting under this juniper tree. And he said, only I am left. No, he wasn't. He wasn't alone. He said, just take my life. I want to die. That's what you'll get to thinking if you listen to the wrong voice.
Amen.
But I started listening to this guy, and I just thought all of it, a few things that will help us to navigate our cave and to make it out. Every one of you, under the sound of my voice, including myself, are going to go through a cave. You're going to have a down time. You're going to have a time when something tells you it'd be better if you just quit. It'd be better if you gave up. Give up on your marriage. Give up on the Lord. Give up on your church. Just give up. Go back to the old way of life. It was better back then. No, it wasn't.
That's right.
And if you'll think about it, you know better than that. Your best days or your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a lost man. Listen to me, you are on your way to hell. It's not better back then. That's what the devil will tell you in the cave is quit. I'm going to give you four things tonight to remember when you're in the cave. Number one, follow your God. Follow your God. Go to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. We're going to turn to a few scriptures tonight, not a whole lot. John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Say amen when you get there. Look with me at verse number 13. The Lord Jesus said, "How be it when he, who? The Spirit of truth has come." Watch what he said he'll do. He will what?
Guide
you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Amen.
He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you.
Amen.
Listen, when you get into cave, you better learn to listen to your guide.
Amen.
Remember what I told you? That guide said, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just listen to me and you'll do what I say, everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
Or you can disobey and do whatever you want and ruin the entire trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. How many times have you ruined it in the cave?
Amen.
I've gotten in low places. Some of the worst decisions I've ever made in my life was in a cave. In a time when I was down, in a time when I was discouraged, I've made some very, very bad decisions. Listen, when you get in the cave, if you're not careful, you won't pray about your decision. You're just grasping at straws and looking for a way out.
Amen.
Here's what that God said. And when he did, I thought about the Holy Spirit of God. He's our God.
Amen.
He's our God. He is here to guide us through this life.
Amen.
And remember, that path of life includes some caves along the way.
Amen.
And the Spirit of the Lord is here to guide us and to help us. And here's something that young man said. And I'll never forget it. He said, "Trust me. Trust me. I know the way. Trust me. I know the way." Do you know we can trust the Holy Spirit of God? He knows the way. He knows exactly the path to the darkest areas of our life, and he can do it without a flashlight. Here's what that guy said. He said, "Man," he said, "I can do this with my eyes closed." Follow your God. You're going to have to learn to trust the leadership of the Lord. You say, "How do I know it's the Lord?" Ask him. Ask him, "Lord, I need your Spirit to guide me. I'm in a bad place and I don't know which way to do it." Sometimes when you're in a place when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Till you get an answer from God. Till your guide clearly shows you what exactly you ought to do. Hey, trust him. He knows the way. Here's what he said. He said, "Man," he said, "I've been doing this since I was 3 years old." He said, "I sat on my daddy's lap in a float when I was a baby." You know what he's saying? "I've been here before."
Amen.
This ain't my first rodeo. This ain't my first trip through the bad infested cave. I've been here before. I've come in this side and have come out the other side. Over and over and over and over and over again. He said, "You got to understand, man, this is what I do for a living." In other words, he said, "This is my job. This is my job to take you from point A to point B."
Amen.
You know what the Holy Ghost is saying tonight? "Hey, trust me, I know the way. Trust me, I've been here before. I've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. It's my job. This is what I do. It's leading God's children through the caves of their life." We need to learn to follow our God. And his name ain't Oprah.
Amen.
Or Dr. Phil.
Amen.
His name is Holy Ghost. And the Lord gave him to us. When we got saved, because he knew we could not make it through these caves on our own. So we need to learn to follow our God. Thank God he left us. He didn't leave us without one. Thank God he didn't leave us without a guide. How many times have you got saved and you started to do something or make a decision and something said, uh-uh. No, 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 no. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Have you ever had him almost forcefully stop you? It gets so heavy. I mean, the Holy Ghost just get on you hard and heavy. That's a good guy. You know what he's doing? He's keeping you from danger. He's keeping you from danger. We go through that cave, and inside that cave, like I said, it's over a mile through that. Hey, there's a whole bunch of ways and places you could turn and win. He said, you don't want to go in there? I go, okay. I'm with you, brother. I don't go in there. I ain't going in there. It's dark. You can't even see past the hole in the rock. I mean, it just looked like a black darkness. He said, people ain't going there. They don't come out. He said, you go in there, it's like catacombs through there. You get in there and you get lost. You get there and die trying to find your way up. That's what's happened to so many of God's people.
Right.
They failed to follow the guide.
That's right.
And they got in the cave and tried to find their own way.
That's right, amen.
They get in there and get so turned around. You ever got that way in life? You just get so turned around in life that you don't even know where you are.
Amen.
You better learn to follow your God. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter number 119. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Psalms chapter 119. Follow your God. He's a trustworthy God. He's an experienced guy.
Amen.
You know what I was thinking? In our cave experiences, we honestly think, and justly so, that they're horrible. But can you imagine how simple they seem to be? Have you ever had a child come to you and they've got a heartbroken, serious problem?
Right.
And they tell you how bad it is, and you're thinking, hey, I've had people come in my office and tell me, oh, life's falling apart. Oh, and they tell me their problem. I'm thinking, oh, you come sit over here and let me sit over there.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Our problems are so tough because they're new to us,
right.
But they're not new to our God.
Yeah.
He's done it up. Listen, I promise you, you're not going through or you're not going to go through anything that many, many people hadn't already gone through.
Yeah. That's right.
And many, many people, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, have made it through victoriously. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms 119 and verse 105. You can quote it, but I want you looking at it tonight. Psalms 119 and verse 105. The psalmist said, thy word is a what?
Amen.
A lamp unto my feet and a what?
Light.
A light unto my path. I said, number one, follow your guide. Number two, find your light. Number two, find your light. That guide said, I could probably make it through here with my eyes closed. He said, but you didn't dare go in this place without a light. If you can barely see us right there, it's me and Sister Angie. But we got a little helmet on her head with a light in it. He said, you don't want to go in that cave. He said, there's no sunlight in the cave. Zero light. Total darkness. When you get in the cave, you better find some light. You better find some light. You say, what are you saying, preacher? He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You get in the darkness of life, you get in the caves of life, first thing you do, you let down your Bible.
Yeah.
I know, I'm not just preaching to you, I've been there. I've been in the caves myself, and the last thing I want to do is pick up this book.
Yeah.
That comes along with the discouragement, and the anguish, and the depression.
Right.
Amen? Last thing you want to do is pick up that Bible and start reading. You know why the devil fights you so hard to pick this up? Because he knows in your darkness you're going to find some light if you open that book right there. I don't know how many times I've shined my way, or the Lord has shined my way out of darkness with this flashlight right here. Sometimes it's a lamp under my feet, which is necessary to know where I am. Which is necessary to know what my standing is. Are you listening? At one point in the cave, we got out and we climbed up on this little rock place where you can dive off, and I said, no, I ain't diving into nothing. I can't see. Of course, my wife. I said, you go, baby. I'll take a picture. Amen. The guide said, as we were going up there, he said, watch your footing. Watch your footing. Don't be looking at each other. Watch your footing. Watch where you put your feet.
Amen.
You can slip and fall right here and hurt yourself really bad. Watch your footing. That's the lamp under my feet.
That's right.
And I'm glad he said that his word was a lamp under our feet. Thank God the word can show it. Hey, I find out reading this book where I'm standing. I'm reading this book sometimes and find out I'm standing on a solid rock. Next other time, I find out I'm standing in quicksand. But then he said, not only is it a lamp under my feet to show me where I am, but it's a light under my path to show me where I'm headed. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God you better find some light. Quit asking directions in the cave. Find you some light where you can see for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. I know so many people that only open their Bible when they're in church. You know what you're doing? You're taking my word for everything.
Yeah. Right. Where are you from?
You got to understand something. You can get light from the preacher, but it's important you learn to get your own light.
Yeah.
It's important. I remember when I first got saved and I started reading the Bible and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand it. And I wasn't praying. I was just uttering to myself. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, Lord, I don't understand this. And all of a sudden, I go, ooh, I guess the Lord heard that.
Yeah.
And the Lord began to shed some
light
on His Word.
Amen.
And then His Word began to shed some light onto my life.
Amen.
Amen? You get in those caves, the first thing you better start praying for is some light. You need to ask that Holy Spirit, your guide, give me some light. Show me my footing. Show me where my feet are. Show me where my path is. Show me which way to go. You better follow your guide, and you better find you some light. Amen. I got nervous. We was going through that cave, and I thought, what if my light goes out? I hope they put fresh batteries in this thing. I hope it ain't like my microphone at church. I hope it works the whole time. Amen. Then I got looking around me. Everybody else had a light. I thought, well, mine goes out.
Yeah.
I lose my light. I'm going to get over here with somebody who does. Amen. Amen. I told Andy, I said, if my light goes out, I'm jumping in your tune. You better follow your guide. You're going in the cave. You better learn to listen to the Holy Spirit of the Lord.
Right.
He's been there before, and He knows the way. You better find you some light. Light that will show you where you are, and light that will show you where you go. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Because July.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 10. You know this verse too, but I want you to look at it. Hebrews chapter number 10. Say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse number 25.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I said in the cave, we need to follow our God, we need to find our light. But we need to forsake not our group. As we got in that river, he said, okay, guys, we got in this little shallow part where there was no current. And he said, I want you to line your floats up. I want you back to back. I want you to line your floats up. He reached in his back pocket and pulled out a rope. Brother Charles, he started lashing every one of them floats together. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm tying this all together. He said, when I get all y'all tied together, I'm tying you and me. He said, when we get in the cave, we got to stay together. We got to stay together.
That's right.
He said, we can't get separated in the cave.
Amen.
He said, you'll never be lost. There's not a time to say.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm not standing. So let me say that again. He said, you'll never be lost as long as I know where you are.
Yeah.
I said, where are you going to be? He said, right behind you. I was the very last one. He had his foot tied to mine. I couldn't see him all the time, but I knew his
name. Amen, brother.
I give you his name. Listen to me. If you ain't careful, when you get in the cave, you won't isolate yourself.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
When you get in the cave, when you get low, and when you get down, this is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Is get yourself alone. You ever watch much of the History Channel? You ever watch that show about the lions of the Serengeti? When they go looking for food, you know what they look for? One that separates itself from the herd. One that gets itself off alone. Bait. Every single time. You better stay with the group. You better stay with the group. Let me just say something. This is pretty good.
Amen.
This is pretty good group. I don't mind one bit just tying off right here. Amen. I don't mind hooking up, lashing together with this group right here. The devil would love to do nothing more than get you alone.
Amen.
Stay with your group. He said, I can't emphasize to you the importance of staying with your group. We ran up on another group while we were in the cave, and there was 30-something of them. There was just four of us. There was 30-something of them, off of a cruise ship. 30-something. Every one of them tied together. Every one of them tied together. I thought, you know, it must be important.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
It must be important to keep that group together.
Amen.
I was noticing we were in Belize City in the airport. You know how you do with your children at Walmart? Don't you get out of my sight? Don't you get out of my sight? They always do.
Yeah.
There was a lady in the airport in Belize City. Not Mexican, I don't guess, but a Belizean lady. And she had, looked like Alicia, had two of them. And had them around her, had a little harness on her kids. Had them both. Going through the airport. She ain't gonna lose her. She's tied too. Woo! And look here, y'all ain't gonna lose me. I'm tied up. I'm tied up, bound up in Jesus, and I ain't going nowhere. God is grace and I ain't gonna say, hey, do not leave the room. First thing the devil wants you to do is get mad, get your feelings hurt, wants you to stay home. He won, not you. What did he do? He got you away from the group. He knows if you get around that group, somebody will come pray with you. You get back around that group, hey, that group will love you. That group will get you out of that cave you in. That group will follow you to the altar when your heart's broken and your heart's heavy. Don't forsake your group. You know what I think we do? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. We don't need that yet. I'd hate to be hunting a new group. I'm not saying there's not good churches. I'm not arrogant. We ain't going to show with them. But I'd hate to find another bunch of people like this.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's good.
I really would. I don't know nobody crazy as y'all.
Amen.
I don't know another group that I just. I don't know another group I could be honest with and say, hey guys, I ain't doing good.
That's right.
Well, I'm struggling.
Oh, good.
I don't know another group like that. No. Thank God for this group. You better stick with group. Ladies, first thing the devil wants you to say is get away from that group. Get away from that group. That old group loves you better than I do. Stay with that group. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how tough it gets, you hang on to that person next to you. Amen. Follow your God. He knows the way. He's been there before. Find your life. Find your life. That guy told us 4 or 5 times before we ever got to the mouth of that cave, make sure your light's on. I said, man of sunshine, I can't tell if my light's on. He said, put your hand right there. Sure enough, I put my hand right there. It's on. I cut it off and on 4 or 5 times. Make sure it's on. Find his light. You get in them dark places, you say, oh God, I've got to have some light. Me and Brother Freddie, we use that terminology with one another. Pray the Lord get some light on this. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. Pray the Lord give us some light. We use that terminology. We have for years. It took on a whole new meaning in that cave right there. How important that light is. Forsake not your group. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm done. You may not need this right now, but you will.
Amen.
You better jot this one down somewhere. Save it on your podcast or something. You're going to need this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 13. The Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You want to underline those three little words right there. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
I said, number one, follow your guide. Number two, find your light. Number three, forsake not your group. Number four, focus on your exit. Focus on your exit. After about about a half a mile, about 3/4 of a mile, I'll be honest with you. I've seen every stalactite I wanted to see. I've seen every stalagmite I've wanted to see. And then there was some other people back in behind us back there we couldn't see. It was making me nervous. Because they're idiots. The guy told us, he said, there'll be a lot of people in here yelling and screaming. He said, I wouldn't advise that. He said, noise can cause them things to pop. Some of them looked like spears that were left there around.
Amen.
We stopped. He showed us one that had fallen and tried to pick it up. Man, that thing's heavier than concrete. But there's people behind us that take their floats and pop them in the water, and he'd go, boom! He'd say, bunch of fools. That's what our guy was like, bunch of fools. I thought, I'm going to be very quiet. After about 3/4 of a mile, man, I'll be honest with you, it was grand. I'm telling you, if you ever go over there, you need to do that. I told Carlos, him and Bob were going, I said, you need to go cave to it. That's an experience. But after about 3/4 of a mile in that thing, I'm ready to get out. I mean, I've been in that float long enough. I done seen every rock, and it all looked the same to me, you know. I was like, okay, I'm ready for lunch. I leaned over my shoulder and hollered at Thomas. I said, how much further we got? He said, just look for the big lie. He said, just keep looking for the big lie.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's good.
We got this big turn in the river. He said, watch for it. Pray, preacher, watch for it. As soon as we turn that light.
Wow.
He said, that gives new meaning, the light at the end of the tunnel, don't it? I said, yeah, it does.
Amen.
Here's what I'm trying to say. There's always a way out.
That's right.
The devil will tell you there's no way out.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Amen.
Because with God, all things are possible.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Our problem is we're not looking for it. We get so focused on our situation, so focused on ourselves and our dilemma, that we forget all about trying to find a way out. Some people have gotten absolutely comfortable in their cave. They don't even want out anymore. But always remember, there's a way out. There's a way out. Now I got to thinking about this. The way out may be the way you can't eat. The way out, you may have to go back where you started from.
That's right.
Some caves don't go all the way. You may have to turn around and go back. In some cases, you got to listen to your guide. Now, if there was no end to that tunnel, man, that would have been really bad. If we'd have floated all the way, it had just been a dead end. But if we'd had to turn around and go back then, we'd have been paddling against the current instead of riding. It's a lot easier to deal with the current than it is with the current. What I'm trying to say is, if your way out's the way you came in, don't get too far in.
That's right.
You need to start asking God to guide you immediately.
Amen. Amen.
I've been through it enough. I can feel it coming on.
Amen.
I know me, and I know my heart and my spirit, and I know when it's going to happen, man. I start praying, oh, Lord, help me now. Don't let me stay in this too long. Because I've been all the way in bindings of death.
Yeah.
I have to work myself against the current to get back out. But sometimes the way out is not the way you came in, the way out is through. David said in Psalms 23, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. I'm glad there's always a way out.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord has never just left us in the cave. Unless we choose to live there. We ought to get to a place like I was. Okay, I'm tired of all this.
Yeah.
I'm tired of all this. I've seen enough. I've learned everything I want to learn about this cave. I'm ready for some grilled chicken. Amen. Learn how to navigate your cave. Follow your God. Find your life. Don't forsake your group. Focus on the edge. There is a way out.
Amen.
You say, boy, preacher, I got myself in a mess. There's a way out.
Amen, brother. Amen.
There's a way out. Hey, you may have to pay some price, but there's a way out. There's a way out. Let's stand there, preacher.